a lesson. Bow with me, please. God, our kind, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. We pray, God, that other members will consider this option as a way to study the Bible every Wednesday and join this class as well. Be with us as we study, and may we do our best to understand and put what we understand into our lives on a day-to-day basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, page, anybody need a book? Let's try that one first. Everybody's good? All right. Page 25. Lesson 3. I can face life's problems and heartaches with courage and resolve. And we're going to start right about in the middle of the page on page 25. It says problems, disappointments. You see that? Problems, disappointments. So problems, disappointments, and heartaches are the common lot of mankind, along with many good things common to all. One thing must be remembered. One's attitude toward the unpleasant things in his life will determine his success or his failure. The Bible, of course, is the best guide at all times and under all circumstances, for it thoroughly equips us to every good work and tells us how to deal with hardships and trials, with sorrows and disappointments. Notice the following scriptures, and we have several here, and this lesson has several scriptures that are just direct quotes that we need to look up and fill in the blanks. So the first one he lists here is Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint, one version I saw said, if you're lazy, in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You need to get more strength, if that's the case. 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, not desperate. We are perplexed, that means puzzled, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the body also of Jesus might be manifest. That word means known in our body. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well doing. This verse is we see this verse a lot in quotes. So let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, tire not. Don't give up. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care. That's King James word. The word that's probably better in the New King James, anxiety upon him, for he careth for you. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your minds through Jesus Christ. A Christian has faith that can pass all understanding. In other words, non-Christians don't really understand what's going on with a Christian, a true Christian. They don't agree with all the Christian, what Christians believe and teach, and it's going to really cost them if they don't get out of that. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, or all things we do is done through Christ. James 1:2-4, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire or complete, wanting nothing. Your needs will be fulfilled. That's right. Yeah, becoming a Christian doesn't take care of all any issues that may come down the road, does it? And some people may think that. What good did it do me to be baptized and become a Christian? I've still got these problems. That's not what it says. You will be consoled by the Word, and you can make it through anything if you put your faith in Christ and God. Thank you. I'm on James 1, 2 through 4. We just did that one, didn't we? Patience. Yep. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Everything will work out. Just remain faithful. Obey God in every way that you can. And to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, to Christians, people who have obeyed the gospel. Romans 12:21, be not overcome. Be not overcome. King James says of evil, or by evil is probably the word we might use instead of. But overcometh evil with good. 1 Peter 4:14-16. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, talking about Christ. But your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So as we have already pointed out, obstacles in themselves need not be hindrances. They could be blessings in disguise. For instance, a strong athlete excluded from his sport because of an injury may become a famous scholar, a renowned physician, or a life-saving scientist. Whereas the thrills he would have provided in the athletic world would have been short-lived at best. What appear to be disadvantages to some provide a stimulus to others to prove to themselves that they will not lie down and play dead. Take a look at this list of people who refused to let handicaps hold them back. These are some prominent people that Brother Conchin is just pointing out that they've done tremendous things, although they do have problems, physical problems that they had to overcome. Take a look at the list of people who refused to let handicaps hold them back. Lord Byron had a club foot. He's a poet, I think, right? Robert Louis Stevenson and John Keats had tuberculosis. Charles Steinmetz and Alexander Pope were hunchbacks. Admiral Nelson had only one eye. Edgar Allan Poe was a psychoneurotic. Julius Caesar was an epileptic. Thomas Edison and Ludwig von Beethoven were deaf. Some say deaf, some say deaf. Peter Stuyvesant had a wooden leg. Helen Keller, though blind and deaf, was a speaker and a writer. Homer and Milton were blind poets. The list can go on and on. If you are handicapped, confused, worried, or just plain disgusted with things in general, here are some suggestions which may help you. Keep your mind occupied with constructive thinking. See that word constructive? That means good thinking, not destructive. Constructive. Think of multiplied thousands who would love to exchange places with you. I just had a discussion with Janice on this point while we were out front there. People will always complain, but it could be a lot worse. Whatever they're complaining about could be a lot worse. They're going to be thanking and thankful that they're where they're at rather than complaining. Make up your mind to endure with patience whatever hardships may come. Keep your spirits high through prayer, Bible study, and thoughts of good things. Muster the courage to accept the inevitable and repeat the words of Jesus when he was faced with great trials and suffering, where he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And this poem here is evidently, this is one of Willard Conscience works that he's put in here. Beside the still waters, not always, for other waters there surely will be, torrents of sorrows, showers of heartaches, and boiling waves from an angry sea, churning and belching its load to the shore, though it recedes, it comes back with more. Yet what matter it if my sea be fierce and rough, if Christ be my pilot, it is not. It is enough. It is enough. Willard Conscience. We shall now notice the reaction of some Bible characters when they were in unpleasant situations. They did not all respond the way that they should have, but we can learn a lesson from them. Nevertheless, what did Job say when he learned of his calamities? See the latter part of Job 1:21 is what they want us to quote there. So the Lord did what? That's what I put in there. You had more room that time than you needed. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. The Lord gave him a whole family, and everything that he had. And everything was taken away. His whole family and everything that he had. And then the Lord blessed him again, and he had more than he had originally. He could understand. Job understood that, but nobody that knew him or even his wife supported that. But Job remained faithful. Number two, how did Jacob react to the news of the death of Joseph? At least he thought Joseph, they told him, his other sons told him that Joseph was dead. Genesis 37:34. So first of all, Jacob, what his clothes? Rent or tore his clothing, okay? Put on what? Sackcloth. He's showing humility here. And he mourned for his son many days. It was at least a week, probably more than that even, in this case. Number three, what did Eli do when he heard of the ark, that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the enemies? 1 Samuel 4:17-18. He fell off what? And what happened to him? He was riding on a wagon, evidently, and he hit a big bump or whatever. Next thing they knew, he had fallen off and broke his neck. He died. When that happens, you do die. Yes. Yes.
Another
And they knew, right? They knew. They were all in this to make the deal. I think the oldest brother had a negative type comment, but he went along with it anyway. He could have probably stopped it if he'd been, he could have done something positive, more positive. Reuben, yes, okay. Yes, thank you. The scripture that I really associate with this discussion item two, when his family was moved to Egypt, and the brothers came in to meet with Pharaoh or Pharaoh's replacement, Joseph. How did he seat them? He seated them in order of their birth, didn't he? How were they seated, the brothers seated? They were seated by their age, by their birthdays. And that should have got some of them thinking, what's going on here? They didn't recognize Joseph. It's been a while since they've seen him. They sure didn't think they would see him as running the country or the Pharaoh. And he seated them. But when they understood who he was, that's when I'd like to see that live. See the disposition, what happened to their countenance. King James used the word countenance for their facial expression. They had to be all sitting at that table thinking, what's he going to do to us? We know what we did to him. What's he going to do to us? Had to be pretty shaky at that time. But he did the right thing. He did not go after him. He did not do anything negative. He did everything that he did was positive. So he's a good example there. And now we're on number four, right? Yeah. What did David say when he heard of Absalom's death? 2 Samuel 18 and 33. Oh, my son Absalom. My son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. When David understood that his son was dead. See that statement he made? Would I and God died for thee. Would God, I wish God would have let me die for you, kept you living, took my life. That's how he felt. Because he lost his life because of David and did not obey God. Number five, what did Paul say about the afflictions awaiting him in Jerusalem? I'm going to read this one, I guess, from the scripture. So Acts 20, verses, I'm going to do 22 through 24. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. But none of these things move, I'm going to do 22, sorry. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit of Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me or happen to me. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, Saul is saying. Paul, now, save, verse 23, save the that the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, or except maybe for the first word, witness in every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, they await me. So he says, I know what's going to happen. I got a real good idea what's going to happen. Verse 24 is the one he selected. But none of these things move me or concern me. I'm not worried about that. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of grace or testified or affirm the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, the people traveling with him, following him around, they say, you can't go there. You know what's going to happen there. They're going to grab you. They're taking Christians off the street. They'll take you off the street. He says, I'm not concerned about that, about myself. My God and my Savior Jesus will work this out. Okay. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. No, I'm going down to the bottom here, aren't I? Sorry. I took my hand off my place and I lost it. So keep your mind. Did that one. I'll catch up. Oh, here we go. Number 5, 27, the bottom of page 27. What did he say about those afflictions? Basically, he was not worried or concerned about that. I got to get out and preach the gospel to more people. Yeah, his life is short-lived probably. But that's his job, is to preach and teach. And that's what he did for years. Okay, thank you. What word in Acts 12:6 shows that Peter, though bound with two chains between two soldiers, was not alarmed, unduly alarmed? Use the word sleeping, doesn't it? If you were really excited and upset about something, could you go to sleep, just fall asleep between two guards, one on each side? Chained on each side of both of them. Says he was sleepy. His mind was at ease. He knew he was doing the right thing. Number 7. How did the apostles feel about their sufferings for Christ according to Acts 5:41? They what? Rejoice. Because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his sake. I had to write that one real small. Number 8, what did Paul and Silas do at midnight in the prison house at Philippi, according to Acts 16:25? They prayed and sang praises to God. Again, does he seem upset? Do they seem troubled by this? No. They're doing what God wants them to do. Contrast the attitudes of Martha and Mary. Okay, let's read that scripture. I'm going to go to Luke 10. So Luke 10, let's see if I change the verse. Nope, we're good. 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered, Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him and her into her house. And she had a sister named, or called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. So she was simply sitting and enjoying listening to Jesus talk. And verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about, or burdened, according to her, with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful, are concerned, and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen a good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So Martha was concerned about this presentation of Jesus and taking care of the people. Mary's the one of the sisters that said, no, not to be concerned. She wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. But what she did, though, she asked Jesus, basically she said, asked Jesus, why don't you tell my sister to help me? I'm throwing this party all by myself. Jesus said, you don't have it right. Yeah. So Martha was cumbered about much serving. Martha should have been sitting there with her sister to learn from Jesus. You know, after this, I'm sure she was very sorry about that. She had an opportunity that wasn't going to come around again, probably. And so Jesus said, Mary has chosen to do the good part, which she'll not be taken. She'll remember this as long as she lives, as the highlight of her servitude. And there, Mary and Martha, who was the brother? Lazarus. Good. And Jesus raised him from the dead, right? Okay. How did the... Yep. Okay.
One thing that sometimes is overlooked a lot of times with this verse, Jesus chastises Martha a little bit for doing the work that she was doing while Mary was sitting there. However, how many times do we kind of go out of our way for a guest in our house to try to make sure everything's perfect and make sure that things are as they ought to be. And she's asking for some help from her sister. Now, it's good that she was going out of her way, yet she should have been listening. But it's just happens like us sometimes, where we are so busy trying to make sure everything is perfect, especially for a guest in our house, that we forget the more important things sometimes.
Very true, isn't it? Very true. And he, from what I just read, or we just read together, do you see where Martha, she was cumbered about. So she didn't feel, her heart wasn't into this, evidently. She's complaining about it. But I don't see here where she went to Jesus to complain, didn't she? Tell my sister to help me. Where should she have went? To the sister. Said, I could really use your help. That should have happened. Jesus being there. Yes. And
she was concerned about the worldly cares and the physical aspects of the tidiness of the house or perhaps your preparation of the food or whatever she was doing. Versus the spiritual portion of Jesus there.
Right. Really, it's just unfortunate they both didn't have the same attitude there. They could have both absorb that. I'm sure there was other people there that would have helped out. All you guys would have helped out. You see the need, yes. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Maybe it also shows the humanity too, because that's the right decision. You know, if one is doing all the work, you go to mom and dad and say, hey,
tell her to help me.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to quit myself. Make some kind of threat. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Let me just read this last one here, and then we'll call this the end of this lesson for tonight. What shows the great determination of the scattered disciples of Acts 4 to fulfill the will of Christ in their lives? What did they do? It's got to do with that word scattered. When they scattered, that means they were in one place, and they all ran off in different directions. They went everywhere preaching the word. So although they were scattering, although they were leaving each other to go out and do something, it was to preach the word, which is there's not a more noble thing to do than that for these people that they're talking about in that scripture. Okay, so we'll start right there, Lord willing, the middle of this page 28, next week.
So basically, when we get shook enough, and we do the right thing, we get shook up, you know, broken out of our normalcy, things start to happen. As long as, I mean, if you just happen to have a positive response, keep that mindset.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
One part of the book's page, 856. 856. After marking that, please turn to page 763. 763. Thank you.
Good evening. The more of these lessons I work on, the more I realize that the topics that I pick are really the topics that I probably need to work on myself. So as I go into this, they make sense. It seems to be human nature to hold a grudge. It also seems to be human nature to feel the need to get even or pay someone back for a perceived wrong. The friend, the family member that said something that offended you, the driver that cut you off in traffic, the manager that didn't give you a raise that you thought you deserved. We all seem to jump right to wanting to show that person that we're not going to stand for being treated that way. And we're all familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35 from one translation or another. The King James Version says, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense," or is more commonly partially quoted from Romans chapter 12, verse 19, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Let's look at that in context of verses 17 through 19. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Simply stated, we should spend no time or effort trying to get even with anyone for wronging us. We read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, what we're supposed to do. "But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." We're told there, and we know in our hearts, that it's not right to try to get even with someone when we feel wronged. With what's going on in the Middle East right now, and we hear a lot about retaliation, we see that often in gang violence and road rage incidents. And how many times have we heard, "He disrespected me, I'm not going to put up with that." And we know that retaliation usually escalates, yet so often we just can't seem to stop ourselves. It's not hard to be kind to those that are kind to us. As Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 34 tells us, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." So we spend so much time and energy thinking about how to get even. So realizing that, why is it that we spend so little time trying to get even with those that do us right? Getting even with those that show kindness towards us. You know, even the small things like holding the door at the store, letting us in heavy traffic. How much time do we spend thinking about ways to pay them back or show others that same kindness? We're all taught in an early age the golden rule, which is based on Matthew chapter 7 or verse 12 or Luke chapter 6 verse 31. "And as ye would that men should do you, do ye also to them alike." So at what point in our lives do we start ignoring that and start wanting to teach everyone a lesson? If we all think we're such good teachers, why don't we start teaching people God's lessons? Also in Luke chapter 6, verses 35 through 37, it says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Or how about Galatians chapter 6, verse 10? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. From Zechariah chapter 7, verse 10, we're taught, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Or how about from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. It's pretty forward, pretty straightforward there. So my hope this evening is that we can all take this lesson and spend more time thinking about how to be kind, how to pay back the kindness that others show us, how to get even with those that show us grace, and even more importantly, those that show us none of those things. So if you're here tonight and you're tired of spending so much of your time thinking about how to get even with those that you believe have done you wrong, and you want some help making that change in your life, you need to know that there's no better teacher than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even though we might all struggle with this from time to time, all of our brothers and sisters are here to help and encourage each other to be better. Now's your opportunity to come forward and ask for that help as together we stand and sing.
There's a fountain of grace is for you and me. Let us pray, Lord. There's a river from the source of love, and he gives us all creeping dreams. Will you come to the fountain green? Will you come? Joy for me there.
Good evening, everyone. I want to start out by thanking Brother Roy for that heartfelt message. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. We want to welcome everyone tonight and remember those who would like to be here but are just unable. And we're also thankful for those who have called in to be a part of this service. Please remember all of our sick. We have so many, very many. A lot of them who are in the hospital, but thankfully our brother Bob Bowen got out today. He was released. He is staying in Livonia with one of his daughters, and that's where Sister Etta will be going tomorrow when she is released from the Trinity Hospital in Livonia. He said she would have to go by ambulance to the where they're going to be staying. And so they were taking care of business today, getting the hospital bed ready and everything as they move in. Also, Brother Charlie Hopkins Sr., as far as I know, he's still at St. Joe. He was yesterday. Alvin Simpson will be released from St. Joe, I believe, tomorrow. He'll be coming home. He won't be going to rehab. He'll be going straight back home. On April the 28th, Brother Andre King plans to be here with us again. You remember Brother Andre from about 2 months ago. He'll be back with us again on the 28th. That's not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. As you received the church directory when you came in, we want to thank Sister Heather and Joan and everyone who worked on that, and the rest of them will be passed out on Sunday. All right. So would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to come together for our midweek Bible study and for all that you do for us. Father, we remember and pray for those of our number who are sick. We pray, Father, you would watch over, care for them, and touch them with your healing hand, Father. Return them to their much-wanted health, if this is thy holy and divine will. We're thankful, Father, for the church and for what it means to all of us. Father, we know that our trials and our tribulations are for our growth and for your glory. Be with us, Father, in all of our endeavors that are for good. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, everyone signed on this evening, and we hope and pray you have gained something from the message and apply it to your daily lives. If you can't be with us on Sunday, we prefer to see your smiling faces, but if you can't be with us, we'll be here at 10:15, the live stream or the call. And if you can't get to those two, then we'll be online. You can find it on the website at 1 p.m. 1 p.m., you can see the recording of the service. So I hope and pray you have a wonderful evening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.